Today's Bible reading comes from Matthew 10:5-15 and verses 40-42. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy. Drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not take along any gold or silver or copper in your belts. Take no bag for the journey or extra tunic or sandals or a staff, for the worker is worth his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search for some worthy person there and stay at his house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet when you leave that home or town. I tell you the truth, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives the one who sent me. Anyone who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and anyone who receives a righteous man because he is a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Unsolicited phone calls. Are we the only ones who get them? Or do you get plenty of them too? Some claim to be just a survey, while others are requesting a gift to what may well be a worthy cause. How do you handle them? We might get to talk to that over morning tea. We have a policy that we don't make a donation over the phone. We regard that as a matter of security. For some other calls, I only say hello once. Wait briefly, and if there's no response, hang up. When we do talk to someone on the other end, we try to be courteous, but realistically, we can't afford the time for a call that is going to go on and on. I take a quick look at the phone number. If it starts with 03, the call has come from Victoria. Why is someone in Victoria ringing us in North Queensland about our electricity supply? Have you had those? But then there are other calls. Someone rings with a harmless sounding questionnaire. But I like openness and directness, so I ask them, who do you represent? Now that's a rather important question, isn't it? If someone is representing a government agency, the call has an authority much greater than a survey done by a local service club. Now don't get me wrong, that isn't to put down the importance and relevance of a service club's survey. Jesus was sending out his 12 disciples as servants of the king. They would be his personal ambassadors. Now, we didn't take the part of the Bible reading at the beginning of that chapter, but it has the names of the 12 disciples. In Matthew 9:35, the end of the previous chapter, we are told that Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in the synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. But think about it for a moment. That was a huge task that couldn't be completed by Jesus alone. In becoming a human being, Jesus, the Son of God, had accepted human limitations. His time was limited. It was 3.5 years, in fact. And he could only be in one place at a time. The need of all these people was so great. Yes, he describes himself in John 10 as the good shepherd who is gathering his flock together. And he has other sheep to call who are not yet part of his flock. He is willing to die for his sheep. But the very fact that he was going to die for his flock puts severe limits on his time. He just can't do it all. The gathering of his flock, the harvest, must be committed to others. So we have a call to prayer at the end of chapter 9, which was that the Lord of the harvest, and that's God the Father, would send out workers into his harvest field. Now in chapter 10, notice this, the call for prayer that laborers would be sent into the harvest was at the end of chapter 9. And now in chapter 10, we find that Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. Notice that he gave them authority. It was not simply a matter of the power or ability to heal, but authority. They were not going out on their own behalf with power to heal the sick, but as the representatives of Jesus, they are servants of the King. Jesus gives them specific instructions. They are not to enter Gentile territory or any Samaritan towns. Now, this doesn't mean that the message of the kingdom has nothing to do with Samaritans and Gentiles. Why, in time, it will embrace both you and me. And that's distant. We are distant in time and space. But Jesus, as a man, has only 3.5 years of active ministry on earth. During that time, his attention has to be focused almost exclusively on Jewish people, the ones who've already received God's promises. And he was going to depend on his followers to take the message to the ends of the earth. Right now, the focus is on the Jews. Back in chapter 9, verse 36, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Now he tells the 12 to go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. Others are lost too. But these are the ones who ought to know that the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. They need to know that hope has become reality, that promise has become fulfillment, that their promised shepherd king, the Messiah, has arrived. Wherever the 12 go, they are to announce that the kingdom of heaven has come near. There will be signs of the nearness of the kingdom in the healing of the sick, raising the dead, cleansing the lepers, driving out demons. The powerful and compassionate acts that marked the ministry of Jesus. And they are to depend on the people among whom they go for the supply of their physical needs. On the one hand, freely you have received, freely give. On the other, a worker is worth his keep. I remember my father saying to me many years ago, he was a Methodist minister, telling me that a minister is paid a stipend, not a wage. He's not paid for all the preaching, pastoral, educational, and other work that he does. Rather, he is paid a living allowance. The preaching of the gospel cannot be sold, but the people of God always have a responsibility to ensure that the ministers of the gospel are able to live adequately, not sumptuously, so that they are free to fulfill their calling. 20 years ago, I went on a trip to the Holy Land. One of my striking memories was going to a newsagent. Across the counter, I was greeted with Shalom. That's the Hebrew word for peace. I shouldn't have been in the least bit surprised at this greeting. But there it was, and in any other shop I entered, the 12 had an urgent task. The opportunity for people to respond to their preaching was immediate. The greeting, peace be with you, Shalom Aleichem, was no simple polite shalom. It was the offer and invitation to receive the peace of God, to become part of the kingdom of God. To refuse the greeting was to refuse God's gracious offer of peace and was to be subject to the wrath of God on the day of judgment. At the end of the chapter, Jesus makes clear promises to those who offer welcome. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. They were royal ambassadors. They were representing the king himself. To welcome them was to welcome the king. To give heed to their message was to respond to a royal decree. Whoever welcomes God's messenger because he is God's messenger will share in his reward. And whoever welcomes a good man because he is good will share in his reward. For to welcome the messenger because he is a messenger is to receive and welcome and accept the message that he brings. It is to become identified with the one he represents. It is to receive the peace of God that he offers and to enter the kingdom of God. The good man to whom Jesus refers is not the self-righteous Pharisee, but the person who has repented of his sins, accepted the forgiveness of God, and entered the kingdom. You can be sure, Jesus says, that whoever gives even a drink of cold water to one of the least of these my followers, because he is my follower, will certainly receive a reward. Even a cup of cold water given to the most outwardly unimportant disciple is performing a simple but real service to Christ himself. We recall the words of the king in the final judgment in chapter 25. I tell you, whenever you did this for one of the least important of these brothers of mine, you did it for me. We've tended to see those words as referring exclusively to the poor and the sick and the needy of this world. In fact, as in our present passage, we need also to see in them a primary reference to the ways in which we've responded to even the least of Jesus' followers. Certainly, he speaks of great reward. Come and possess the kingdom which has been prepared for you since the creation of the world. A well-known minister, Andrew Bonar, had been on a trip to ancient Babylon. He brought home a brick from his travels. One day he showed this brick to his congregation. He said that every brick in the temple from which it was taken bore the name of the king who was reigning at the time it was built. Making the application, he said, "We must let everything we do bear the name of our King, the Lord Jesus Christ." Sometime later, a woman from his congregation came to him and exclaimed, "Those bricks, oh, those bricks of Babylon." Sensing the implication of her statement, he asked her, "Did you find them while sweeping the floors?" "No," she said, "I found them while making the beds." "You remember you said that everything we did should bear the name of our Saviour? Well, shortly after that I had to change the beds, a job I thoroughly dislike. So I said, I will do this in the name of Jesus and for his glory." The question is whether we see ourselves as servants of the King, as ambassadors of the King. Like our question about the phone calls, who are we representing? Just ourselves or another? King Jesus. The task of getting the message of the kingdom into this confused, bewildered, and sinful world is one that Jesus had to commit to his messengers. He alone is the Saviour of the world, but the good news had to be committed to others. It was more than Jesus could do in his human lifetime. And it is more than all the missionaries and ministers of today can achieve of themselves either. All of us have a role in this task. All that we do and say is to be in the name of Jesus and for his glory. Wherever we go, we belong to him and to his representatives. And our words and actions can bring the possibility of God's peace and kingdom into the lives of others. But there is also a prior question. For the ambassadors are those who themselves have heeded the call of the King. "Peace be with you" is no idle, meaningless greeting. Jesus himself is offering forgiveness and peace to all who will come to him. So that prior question, have you welcomed Jesus and his peace? Amen.